Lodge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. What was once Hurricane Helene is now blamed for at least 43 deaths across the South. It's caused flooding in multiple states, including Georgia.
I wasn't even expecting to be nothing like this. I thought it may be like wind damage or anything, like trees falling, things of that nature. But I never expected this. This is beyond my dreams.
Felton Hall describing how high the water is outside his apartment complex in Atlanta. Helene is now a tropical depression. Vice President Harris is in the Arizona border town of Douglas. She's going to outline some of her immigration proposals. New York City Mayor Eric Adams pleading not guilty today to a 5-count federal indictment. More legal trouble for Diddy. A woman is suing Sean Combs, alleging he sexually assaulted her and impregnated her. Stocks closed mixed today. The Dow at an all-time high. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A change of plans for Donald Trump's rally in southwest Wisconsin tomorrow. It's been moved from the airport in Prairie du Chien to a performing arts auditorium indoors. The Secret Service says it's stretched thin due to the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. Wisconsin school superintendent says budget-writing lawmakers should release $50 million to support literacy education. Jill Underley says the Joint Finance Committee's decision to hold on to the money is putting a burden on local communities.
They have, with good faith, bought new curriculum, have trained their teachers, but they haven't released the funding that they need to do this. And so they are footing the bill, and their taxpayers and the local communities are having to do it. And the money is there. It just hasn't been released.
Underley accuses Joint Finance Republicans of obstruction. She gave her annual State of Education speech yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. The government is fining the company that employed a diver who died while cleaning the water tank in Blair last March. OSHA is ordering $85,000 in fines for Liquid Engineering Corporation. The Workplace Safety Agency finds the company liable for 7 serious violations. Carlos Medina of Texas was cleaning Blair's water tank when he passed out from the cold and drowned. OSHA is not recommending any fines or citations against the city of Blair. The Small Business Administration is speaking with businesses around Duluth and Superior to let them know what future changes the Blatnik Bridge could bring. Small Business Administration officials say if local businesses struggle with delays or other risks, Washington may be able to help. Officials also say an extra 10 feet of clearance should allow almost any ship to come to the area. The Blatnik Bridge is a crucial corridor between the twin ports. I'm Terry Bell for James Kelly, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a 3-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. A familiar face awaits on the opposing sideline this Sunday. Vikings running back Aaron Jones will play his first game against his former team. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said there's still a lot of love for Jones in Green Bay.
I think everybody in this building respects not only the football player, but more importantly, the person that he is. And like I said, there's a lot of love for him. We're gonna have to hit the pause button for about a 3-hour window on Sunday, and then, you know, pick it back up.
The team has not announced whether Jordan Love will play after missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, not as cool as it's been, a low near 50. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs right around 80. And upper 70s for highs with sunshine on Sunday and Monday. Much cooler, though, through mid-next week, only near 60 Tuesday. Right now it's 80.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You can join us on the lines as well, 855-752-4842. Before we get going, let's get to the games. It is the last chance for your availability to win the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. The secret word of the day. I know you're looking for it. I know you're looking. I'm teasing.
What is it?
I'm
teasing. What is it? What is it?
I'm teasing. The word of the day is field. F-I-E-L-D. Field. I will meet you on the field. We'll play some ball. Field. So download the Civic Media app. Find your favorite radio station. Use the text button on the bottom of the screen and text the keyword field for your chance to win this statewide contest. Field. It is field. All right. Happy Friday to us all. Super stoked to have. I'm jazzed as hell. James Santel.
Way too enthusiastic, Dom. Way too enthusiastic.
James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on Civic Media Network here on Saturdays, 9 to 11.
Yes, it all still right. Is there unless they've told me otherwise.
No,
and I just didn't get the memo. All right.
And Jess is on the board as well. So happy Friday to us all. Lots and lots to get to today. But I'd like to start local here, if we may, Jim.
Yes.
My alma mater,
mm-hmm.
UW Lacrosse, a fine institution. It got better after I left. As Kelly Meyer offered, I'm not even kidding you, man. That town is cleaned up. If I was there recently, Oktoberfest most recently, I think of last year. And the downtown is nice. They got brand new hotels, and it's all painted up real nice.
Well, they got rid of the riffraff.
They got rid of the riffraff.
Fix things up, eh?
It's a good school.
Yeah.
It's amazing what happened once we left. But Kelly Meyerhofer is reporting on this, and there is a legal bend to this, Jim. That's why we're going there. So bear with me.
Constitutional bend to this, even, right?
Man,
how exciting
freedom
is that?
Speech, this is what I'm talking about. According to Meyerhofer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the UW Board of Regents fired
him.
Former University of Wisconsin lacrosse chancellor Joe Gao a second time, ending a drawn-out faculty disciplinary process focused on his controversial pornographic videos. The board discussed Gao's conduct behind closed doors at a Friday meeting on UW Parkside campus for about 30 minutes before moving into open session. The board held no public discussion before unanimously voting 17-0 to adopt a dismissal order. Now, the system did not immediately provide a copy of the board's dismissal order Friday, citing a provision in state law allowing the subject an opportunity to prevent release of the information. Gao said he interpreted the unanimous vote to mean he'd been fired. Now, the firing sets a stage, Jim, for a lawsuit Gao said he will be pursuing on First Amendment grounds. He said the termination decision was not at all surprising and criticized the lack of independent thought among board members who he believes were taking direction from the UW system. A quote from Joe. We might as well take down the famous plaque on the front of Bascom Hall, because the people who fired me today aren't a board of regents. They're a board of hypocrites. Gallo 63 told reporters after the vote, referencing a UW-Madison plaque commemorating the regents' defense of a faculty member, it's a controversial view on socialism in the late 1890s, they have zero credibility on free speech and expression. Now, the regents already fired Gallo's chancellor last year after discovering he and his wife posted porn videos, sometimes with adult film stars, on platforms such as OnlyFans, LoyalFans, and Pornhub. Now, Gallo's contract, however, provided him with a tenured faculty appointment if his chancellorship ended. He had announced plans to return to teaching even before his unorthodox hobby, is that what we're calling it now? became international news. And since then, he's been on paid leave. Now, the termination means the loss of Gallo's $91,915 faculty salary and more than $313,000 in unused sick leave.
Wow.
I mean, man, this guy is, he's got lots of energy. Let's
clearly,
put it that way.
Clearly.
Now, a program allows state employees to convert unused sick leave to pay for health insurance premiums upon retirement. UW-La Crosse and Gallo's amount could potentially purchase health insurance for he and his wife through the age of 75. He's 63 years old. Great. So, you know,
okay,
what I'm saying? So 12 years of health insurance costs $313,000. And that's a whole other story.
Right. That's a whole separate issue.
Talk about health care in America.
Right. God. But let's not digress. Now, apparently, the firing comes 6 years after he was publicly criticized by his boss for inviting an adult film actress to speak on campus. And I think
we talked about this last week, about $5,000 spent to get her there. Maybe they had made a film before that. And he said, why don't you come over to the campus and and talk to the undergrads here?
Right? They also argued Gallo would create a serious risk for the university if he returned to the classroom as a communications studies professor. The UW investigation identified other rules violations, such as failing to cooperate with the investigation, and misuse of university computers. Dr. Gallo just doesn't get it or is unable to acknowledge that his conduct is harmful to the UW campus community and a distraction from its core mission, said their attorney. Enough is enough. Dr. Joe needs to go. Now, Gallo argued his videos and books written about his experience in the adult entertainment industry should be protected by the First Amendment. He noted UW-La Crosse's strong financial position and healthy enrollment undercut the university's claims about reputational harm. And I would also notice, I mean, I went there, so let's talk about reputational harm. And my understanding, Jim, is UW-La Crosse is one of the universities that fills up the quickest.
Yes,
them,
right?
And Madison.
Beautiful campus, outstanding institution academically.
Now, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, also known as FIRE, is a national free speech-focused nonprofit that has taken an interest in Gallo's case and hired Leitner on his behalf. FIRE has said time and again, public universities cannot sacrifice the First Amendment to protect their reputations. We're disappointed UW caved to donors and politicians by throwing a tenured professor under the bus. There's more to this article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But one of the things I noted, one factor that might hurt him in this case, apparently the videos are not just private activities, but they earned him money.
Right.
And commercial expression, as written, is much less protected under the First Amendment than other forms of communication, apparently. But there's more to it. So, Jim.
There's a lot to this, too, right?
There is a lot to this, man. And
yet it's also very simple, right? It's issues about freedom of speech and expression in America. We do know that our First Amendment, it's the first one that our Congress passed many, many years ago, 1789, right, and talked about this very issue. So it was in the minds of our founding fathers. They probably didn't anticipate it being interpreted just this way, but here it is. And the reality is that, yes, indeed, it is strong. It is there. It is the Supreme Court. Other courts have said that while it's not inviolate, no such thing as a right in America, listen to this, of course, no such thing as a right in America that is unconditional. All of them are tempered by conditions and restrictions. But this is a pretty strong one. And again, the issues here, we can tick them off and make lists of them. You're at an academic institution, right, where this whole notion, which we've talked a lot about, when it comes to even freedom of expression of speakers who are brought on campus.
Right.
You want to have that situation where you've got illiberality, and I don't mean that in the capital L sense, but just a sense of discussion and commonplace exchange that is good for the academics of the institution. So you've got that issue about freedom of expression generally. Then you get more deeply into this issue of exactly what the Supreme Court has said, and you've got it absolutely right. They've drawn a bit of a distinction. They said, you know, if you're simply expressing your views, even if they happen to be pornographic and they're out there, if there's a commercial aspect to this, if there's money that you're making, that tends to diminish the strength of the right
now, why,
somewhat.
Why
right?
is that? Yeah, yeah. I don't understand that right. one little bit. If he or I or anybody is in this right. scenario and gave all the money away, then they have a stronger case. What right. is it about making a little bit of money that makes my freedom of expression less valuable?
Right, and that's a very good argument. That's what an awful lot of people say. It shouldn't be subject to that kind of a condition. We know there are other conditions out there. We talked about them again last week. Conditions, for example, on child pornography. That's plainly prohibited. That's sure. illegal. Other things, non-consensual activity, certain kinds of things, even justices have said, this kind of pornography where people are perhaps, again, subject to physical violence, that's a different kind of condition. The commercial thing has been a subject of a lot of debate out there, and the notion is that somehow the integrity, if you will, again, this is not the Supreme Court talking, but the integrity, that the strength of your powerful right somewhat diminished if you're not doing this because of your advocacy on behalf of the First Amendment, because you want to put some bucks in your wallet. It's not a compelling argument, but it's out there. And again, the courts are obliged to address that kind of thing. And so it is one of the things going in that he's got to think about, his lawyers have got to think about as they put this together. The other issue, of course, which you also more than hinted at, is, are there other reasons to fire him? You know, if First Amendment is one thing, if he has violated some of the terms and conditions using computer mechanisms, failing to cooperate in the investigation, that's not so much a First Amendment right. That's violations of an institution that can impose those kinds of restrictions on you. So this could be a very complicated issue going to trial someday. And the complaint that he will file, which is what he would do in federal court here, that's going to identify how he wants to craft this. Is this purely an academic First Amendment kind of an issue? Does he acknowledge along the way that there are limitations to that, and then we can overcome those? Because even his amount of money maybe that he got was de minimis, not all that significant.
Right, right.
And his overwhelming reason for doing this was because of the creative nature of this, of the films that he and his wife yeah. are producing, right?
Creative.
Right, right.
Adult talk content creators.
Exactly, Jim. Right.
Hey, so, there's right, a lot of creativity that you can have.
Right, right. I wouldn't know, but I'm told, right? So a lot of that has to do with I'm sure he's been talking about this with his lawyers. It'll be fascinating to see. I suspect we're going to be talking about this down the road, Dom and Jess, as this case gets filed. How does he craft this? How to yeah. describe it? And again, the mere fact, the other thing he's done, of course, is now he has what's called exhausted his remedies. He has now come to the end, basically. Maybe there's got to be some paperwork to confirm he has, in fact, been terminated as a teacher there beyond his chancellor position. But the question is going to be, how does he describe what has happened to him? First Amendment, first and foremost. But are there other things, that, even procedurally, did he get an opportunity? Some due process issues could be thrown into this. A lot of this, again, going on appropriately behind the scenes and personnel issues. But did he have a right? Did he have an opportunity to be heard? Those kinds of things. Many things could be brought forth in a federal lawsuit that could complicate the issue.
That'll cost the university some money one
Absolutely.
Way or the other. Corey Silverstein, one of the few adult entertainment industry attorneys in the country, estimated wrongful termination claims by adult content creators are won less than 30% mm-hmm. of the time. So you're saying there's a chance. He also goes on to say that, you know, perhaps the issues of violating the IT policy or directive to participate in the investigation, that none of those were problematic on the basis of disciplinary action. Potentially trickier, he said, was the university invoking vague standards such as supporting the university mission and avoiding reputational harm. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
This is the final weekend of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Don't miss your last chance for adventure. There's hilarious entertainment, delicious food and drink, live armor jousting, and our marketplace is a shopper's dream. Discount tickets available at Cub Foods, Menards, Quick Trip, and Walgreens. This is our closing weekend, so the gates will be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your on-site parking pass and plan your adventure at renaissancefest.com. Only 3 days left this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm a bad influence. I say the world's already. I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers new inside of. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it. People say that I'm a bad influence. I say the world's already. I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers new inside.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. 855-752-4842. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel in studio with me. Jess is on the board. The Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win statewide contest. The super secret word is field. So download the Civic Media app. Find your favorite radio station. Use the text button on the bottom of the screen to send the keyword field for your chance to win this statewide contest. Just a little bit more on Joe Gow, the former chancellor and now former professor and my alma mater, the great UW La Crosse. This is a university, Jim. These are all adults that are in here. And you know, granted, I was a young adult when I was going there, but I do recall some of the non-traditional students in front always asking questions at the end of class, you know, wrecking it for everybody trying to get out the door.
Right.
I mean, but these are adults. And I wonder then, how does something like this work with regards to the student body? Mm-hmm. These are adults. If a student engages in this behavior, is there repercussions? Now, certainly if you're doing something on campus versus something off campus.
Right.
None of these accusations apparently were done on campus. He wasn't, you know, Nina Hartley and him weren't down at Arts Center.
They were not at the union in the basement. Right. Exactly. Right.
So, and then the cost on this above and beyond that. What is something like this, a federal lawsuit, a civil case like this, and he's apparently got some this fire organization is going to help him out.
Right.
What's the university's liability on this?
Sure. So again, everybody is assessing that right now. The lawyers are, if they haven't already been, they've been back in their offices saying, gee, let's begin to think about the cost of doing this. It is not inexpensive because remember that you file the lawsuit, of course, you file the complaint. That's the easy portion, if you will. Again, describing it is important, but filing it, you've got a filing fee and that gets it underway. It is probably years of litigation, and that includes, for example, depositions. That's where everybody gets to sit down, and he will get to depose through his attorneys all of the representatives of the university. They likewise can depose him. They can depose his spouse, other people associated with him. Every one of those is going to take hours. You've got court time. You've got court reporter time.
You've got attorney time, all those kinds of things. We're easily talking about tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. You go to trial in a federal court for even a 5-day trial or so, you are easily into five figures, maybe not six, but there's a lot of money associated with this. You've got documents to exchange. You've got lots of discovery. Once again, material things to go back and forth. That's all a part of the civil process. You've got hearings. You may have motions for what's called summary judgment. Basically says, well, the facts are agreed here. They may or may not be, but indeed, if you know, if there's some fundamental notion that, yeah, we know what happened here, the question is whether it's an issue of law, then you're going to brief that. Those can also be the subject, lots and lots of money. In the end, people have got to be thinking on both sides at some point, too, not right now, about the possibility of, yes, I'll say the S word, settling the case. Just as a way of cutting losses on both sides, said it repeatedly on this broadcast and others. If everybody walks out of the room at some point a little bit unhappy and feeling that they could have gotten a better result at trial, probably it's a good settlement. Nobody is pleased to give somebody, make some concessions, but that may in the end be the way to resolve this in 2026, 2027, depending upon how long all of this is going to take.
What kind of discovery can happen in a case like this? I mean, presumably, I would assume once the word got out that Joe's engaged in this adult content creation, if some of his colleagues or some of those folks, hell, even at the Regents, you know, jumped on their work computers and did some Google searching to find, you know, Joe's OnlyFans page.
Right.
Are they in violation of whatever rules that they say that Joe's in violation of?
Right. And so what you'll have early on probably is what's called written discovery. And so you'll get, for example, the former chancellor here, the former teacher here, filing a request of the university. Give me the lists. Identify the people on campus, your staff, your faculty, who may have in some way been affected by this, especially since you're alleging a reputation diminution here, some problem with the integrity, the public view. All right, tell me who those people are. That's one aspect of this. Describe for me the other people. Tell me about all of the other disciplinary matters involving other staff who may have been involved in this kind of thing, maybe not a whole lot of them. You can make that request as well. Give me the entire universe.
Yeah.
It is not to say that all of that is going to be relevant at trial.
Sure.
And a federal judge is going to say, oh, yeah, bring this in. Let's have a 17-week trial.
But you're still going to go get it.
Right? And there's still absent. There's got to be relevance to the case. Those kinds of things are. Likewise, the university can look at him and say, give me all of the information about people with whom you affiliated. Who did you talk to on campus? Students? Other staff? What is the impact? And, of course, their position is by doing that, you have affected our reputation, not just by doing these films, putting them out there for public consumption, if you will, but tell me about all those people.
Yeah.
And also then give me any, here we go again, right, emails, texts, written, to the extent that people write things down on paper anymore. All of those things, those can be requested. And again, discovery, very broad. Litigation today is all about that kind of work.
Well, and so they're fine with, as you mentioned, the plaque at Bascom Hall, right? They're fine. If you want to engage in promoting and supporting socialism, that's totally fine. We're done with that. But if you want to, you know, record your sex, because everybody has sex, this isn't something that's new to the world. You do that, and all of a sudden, oh, no, that's terrible. That's a bad thing. It seems a little hypocritical.
And to that good point, Dom, the other thing that you can ask in interrogatories and all sorts of written discovery, even oral discovery, is explain your policies to me. Describe for me exactly how they are applied.
Yeah, they're saying they're kind of vague.
Right? What do you mean by those words of integrity and reputation? And tell me exactly what those, and show me in your policy manuals where that comes from. If not, tell me what the Board of Regents has said before, what the chancellors around the university system have said about those issues. It can also be that specific about policy application.
I just have a feeling in like 20 years, this is going to be like the stupidest thing ever. Mark from the SAC will sneak you in here. You got 45 seconds. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. And as kind of looking back in my career, I was a union steward at a time representing people, I'd say, you know, Mr. Gall, you should probably just agree to retire and take your benefits with you and leave it at that, because you don't want to lose your pension. You don't want to lose your sick leave benefit. It's going to pay for your health insurance. Just leave it at that and just say, lesson learned. I'm going to enjoy myself now and do whatever the hell he wants. If he wants to, you know, broadcast whatever he does, it's fine now. But, I mean, just
But why wasn't it fine then, Mark? That's the problem. What's the problem? He's an adult on his own time. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls. And they're going to get into the Wausau Mayor. Doug Denny, he's moving those voting boxes around, Jim. Not
hard
a fan
hat.
Of that.
You're wearing a hard hat.
And a suit. We'll be right back. I say the world's already I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers suicidal. Come on, suicidal.
Go hanging that and do it. Just do it. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Unemployment in Wisconsin is 2.5%. The State Department of Workforce Development says that's down from a little more than 3% in July. Joblessness went down in all 12 major population centers in Wisconsin since August, as well as since last year. Pro-democracy groups are calling out the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot out of the public's reach Sunday. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Stunts like this only sow seeds of doubt into the security of our elections. This makes people think that their vote does not count. The truth is that your vote matters in every single election.
The Marathon County District Attorney is looking into whether Doug Denny broke the law. A complaint has also been filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. A man from Eau Claire who was the ringleader of an area drug trafficking organization is going to prison. Hector Jimenez Sosa was convicted of distributing methamphetamine after pleading guilty in July. This week, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 4 years of supervised release. He was arrested after undercover law enforcement officers bought drugs from Jimenez Sosa during their investigation last year. An art exhibit in Eau Claire aims to raise awareness about homelessness. It's called More Than Homeless, and it'll be on display at the L.E. Phillips Library in October and early November. Retired art teacher Dan Ingersoll volunteers at the Community Haven House Day Shelter. He says he was inspired to put on the exhibit after working with homeless people on art projects. Money raised will go to keep the shelter open longer hours in the cold weather months. I'm Terry Bell for James Kelly, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Headed to the movies this weekend? Here are a few options that hit the big screen. First up, it's the highly anticipated The Wild Robot. If you love movies about robots that get stranded on deserted islands, then The Wild Robot is your film. The story follows the adventures of Roz, a robot who has to endure harsh conditions after being stranded on the island and befriending a gosling. As you can imagine, it's a family-friendly film. The critics are raving about it. It's currently pulling a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Francis Ford Coppola's 40-year, $100 million project Megalopolis also hits the big screen in wide release this weekend, but to uneven reviews. The legendary director's passion project is pulling about a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if it's graphic horror you're in the mood for, check out the Demi Moore film's The Substance. The film explores trying to make a better version of yourself by using, you guessed it, The Substance. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, not as cool as it's been, a low near 50. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs right around 80. And upper 70s for highs with sunshine on Sunday and Monday. Much cooler, though, through mid-next week, only near 60 Tuesday. Right now, it's 80.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie
Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy is on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Remember, the Go for the Green or Gold text to win statewide contest. Today is the last opportunity for you to win big. The word of the day is field. Go and download the Civic Media app. Use the text button on the bottom and text the word field for your chance to win the statewide contest. James Centel, former U.S. attorney in studio with me, just on the board. You on the lines, be patient, we will get to you. Let's move along, Jim, if we may. The Wausau mayor, Doug Dinney, 5 months on the job, making a name for himself.
Once again, making Wisconsin proud, not just nationally, but internationally. We're right in the news for this, right? How very proud we must be.
Putting on the hard hat and the gloves and the suit, because that's how everybody, right, you know, goes to
exactly
work. Right. You know, take kind of the kind of guy that takes a shower after he's done working, right? Jim?
Belts and suspenders, right? All that kind of thing.
Some updates on this from the Milwaukee General Sentinel. Just a couple of paragraphs. Wisconsin Election Commission shared its guidance regarding anyone. Did he break the law? Anyone who, by abduction, duress, or any fraudulent device or contrivance, impede or prevent the free exercise of the franchise of election may be guilty of a Class I felony. Commission urged clerks to contact law enforcement if everyone tampers with, defaces, destroys, or unlawfully empties, or interrupts, impedes, or prevents the use of a drop box. Well, the clerk did reach out to the Marathon County DA on this, and apparently, and the WEC, and apparently they're reaching out to DOJ. But he was successful in this regard, Jim. You can't use that box right now.
That's so, right.
Absentee ballots going out right now, they cannot go down there and use that box.
Absolutely, right? It's no longer accessible. And that goes to the really first point, right? But you put aside all the silliness, which it really is. It's embarrassing at a professional level, at a public policy level. It's just downright horrifying. But go back to next year, we are celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, other great civil rights statutes. Now, that one obviously prohibits voting discrimination according to race, but it's been amended. It's the whole concept behind it is we want to have people get access to the polls, right? We want to have a franchise that's meaningful for everybody.
Well, generally, right? most people want that.
Right, exactly. I realize I like to think I'm still the majority, and as are you and Jess in the majority on that, but there are those folks who say no for reasons that they know well, given their political posture in America. But the notion of our nation, again, not just since 1960s, 238 years, has been movement toward a greater franchise, again, including people who are now over 18 and over. Women, right, in the 1920s, we needed to plainly correct that problem and ensure that women have the right to vote. People with disabilities, all those kinds of things. The movement across the board has been in favor of giving people who are entitled to vote, who are citizens and are residents of the particular area, that they should be able to vote for the people who are representing them and will be representing them. Every single time one of these things happens, I look at that and I think, okay, you're really saying I'm turning back American history. I am going to try to stop this movement forward that ensures representative democracy. And that's the question I think the people who are voting for him in the future, maybe more recently and again down the road, should be asking him, are you committed to the notion of an America where you've got representative democracy, a republic where people go to vote and choose their elected leaders, as opposed to having them those choices usurped by people who would take away the mechanism to accomplish that? That's number one. The other one, again, pulling back the silliness of what he has done.
Once again, where is any evidence of any kind in America, including in Wausau, including Wisconsin, across the country, where drop boxes have resulted in an undermining of voting, right? We simply have not seen that. No, people are not pouring gasoline or syrup into these. And again, beyond that, you're putting your absentee ballot into this box, okay? That is not to say your vote is being counted in that moment. It gets picked up by the clerk's office. You've got people who are reviewing these things to ensure that the signatures are proper, the address is proper, that the residence is proper, that the ballot that's inside that is proper. There are multiple checks on this. It's sent through machines. It's reviewed by human beings. And again, where is the indication of any kind of factual evidence to suggest that drop boxes are resulting in some change in the way that votes are counted and votes are cast in
America? They're not.
There's none.
There's
none whatsoever.
And it was never an issue, Jim, until COVID and Trump.
Exactly.
I mean, we used these things for years, and not to the degree that we did during the pandemic, which is makes a lot of sense during a pandemic increase,
right.
You know, drop boxes.
Right.
But the recent case in the Wisconsin Supreme Court that returned the right for Wisconsin municipal courts to utilize the drop boxes, the Wisconsin Election Commission issued guidance that the state's, quote, the municipal clerk has the authority to designate drop box locations.
It's the clerk, C-L-E-R-K, right?
The guidance states, points to Wisconsin statute, says the law requires only that the ballot be delivered to a location the municipal clerk within his or her discretion designates. Doesn't say the mayor.
Doesn't say
elected officials.
Right.
It says the clerk.
The clerk is the one who decides. Why? Because we've decided under our Constitution, once again, Mr. Mayor, that those are the people who are responsible for administering the terms and conditions, the mechanisms of voting. That's once again how we've done it for decades, frankly, more than decades in America. And so on that basis, again, as you quoted early on, well, I've got a responsibility. You've got a responsibility to ensure that the laws are properly, faithfully executed. You do not have any capacity to go in and take upon yourself the duties that are assigned to other people, especially when it comes from, oh, by the way, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has been as clear as possible. You don't play in this game, right? In the same way that the president, as we've talked about, but Donald Trump, does not play in the game when it comes to selecting, counting electoral votes, that process, it's very clear. That's the Congress that does that. You have no role to play constitutionally in that. Same kind of thing here. You are not a part of that process. And again, I think the mayor has a lot of explaining to do. It defies understanding that he, again, it's a part of a political response and a posture he's out there. That is how he won the election in the first place. And he wants this for the brochure. He's got the picture now with the hard hat and the gloves.
And everybody has seen the picture. A Class I felony, Jim.
Yes, right.
What does that mean?
Here's the other very good point. If Jess or I would go down to our municipal civic center and you name the item, we walk inside, we walk outside, many of the also boxes for utility drop-offs, right? All those kinds of things. And we say, you know what? I've got my truck out here. I'm just going to take this away. I'm going to take any property out of the official government offices, and I'm just going to take it home or put it someplace else. Do you think for a moment that there would not be a criminal law enforcement of that? It's called theft. It's called taking property, right? Right. And again, just because you're the mayor does not mean that you've got the capacity to do that.
No,
you're also subject to the law.
You're
right?
Only the mayor, dude.
Right, right.
I mean, you're a mayor.
Right.
And you barely won in Wausau.
Right. And you should be setting the appropriate standard here for behavior. What is next? Somebody doesn't like the ways that the brochures at the Park and Rec are displayed.
Well,
I don't like
where the lanes are
on the
freeway, so I'm going to take some paint out there.
Right.
And
there
I'm going to draw new lanes.
I have a philosophical difference. And thank you for saying that, Jess. That's what he initially said. Now, he had a philosophical difference. Well, you don't get to have a philosophical difference because it's not the election clerk who's making this decision. It's the Wisconsin Supreme Court
who's
making that decision. Jim, is it better that it wasn't bolted down and there are no ballots in it? Does that matter?
You know, it's a nice little factoid, as you sometimes say out there. But the reality is, once again, even that point underscores what a responsible elected representative does. Okay, you have the mayor. You're concerned about the fact that maybe somebody else is going to come up with their dolly and take this thing away. And you notice it's not bolted down. What do you do? you go to your office, or maybe you walk down the hallway and say, Madam Clerk, you know, I was walking by this and I see it's not bolted down. Have we talked to the facilities people? Are we going to get some bolts out there?
You know, the same folks you stole their hat and gloves from, they could have actually done the job.
Absolutely. Can we get that done? And she says, oh, sure, yes, we're going to get that. We're going to put that in place. That's going to happen. And I think that's what the clerk had indicated initially that she was going to do. And again, that's responsible representative democracy in America, getting addressing the problem that you may see and getting to the people who can take care of it easily. And so that, you know what, we're not now diverted by all of this, and we're not going down this crazy road.
You got to maximize your political advantage every second, every time. Right. If there's not a charge or a class I felony or some sort of consequence, you know how the world is, man. Everyone's going to start popping their memes out of, you know, some jackass moving around the ballot drop box.
Right.
He won't be the only guy.
Right.
If he gets away with it, why wouldn't anybody just, I don't like it there, I'm going to move it.
Let's use the D word again. It's deterrence, right? A specific deterrence. You want to stop him from doing this in the future. Other things that he may be taking, whether it's office supplies or other things out of the city hall. But beyond that, you also want to make certain that people who look at this and say, well, gee, if my mayor can do that. Yes, Jess. I mean, he's got the paint cannon with the yellow paint out there on I-94, other places. We want to stop people. We want to let them know, you know what? What happened to that mayor for doing that? Again, we're not going to put him in prison for this, but, you know, he was subject to the prosecution. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor here in Wisconsin, and I don't want that to happen to me. I'm not going to do the same thing. That's deterrence. Absent doing something in response to this, people get the message, you know what? You can do this and get away with this. That's just the opposite. That's why deterrence is so very important as to all of this, including this particular instance. And also, nationally, internationally, sends the message, you know what, Wisconsinites responded to this and said, no, no. This is not just an outlier. This is somebody who does not represent what we do in Wisconsin. We follow the law. We're rational people, I think. And for that reason, we did respond to this and stopped it from happening.
If convicted of a Class I felony, Jim, would Mr. Denny be eligible to vote in future elections?
There's right. A misdemeanor, yes, but felony, there's your question once again, right? And the same issue that's facing Donald Trump in Florida, New York, that kind of thing. So lots of consequences here. How sad it is that in 2024, when we should be talking again about things like fiscal responsibility and academics in Wisconsin and school boards and books and education and health care and, yes, the environment, all those kinds of things. Instead, Mayor Denny has us talking about the color of the gloves that he's wearing to haul away the box there in Wausau.
And when we've, you know, read some of the terrible stories about folks that, you know, accidentally voted, you know, actually went to their clerk, got the ballot, were told they could do it, and then they did it, and then found out later they couldn't do it, and then were convicted of crimes for that. I mean, wow.
Right. And it just, again, the appropriate response, again, I for a number of years, ever since COVID, I've served as an election inspector, believe it or not, in my municipality as well. The response should always be, okay, we've got thousands, tens of thousands of these ballots coming in. We've got one that's peculiar here. If you've got enough time, if it comes in now, for example, for the November, the clerks reach out and say, you know what, Mr. Santel, we've gotten your ballot here. There's a problem here. We've got some issue here. Where did you drop this off?
You put your zip code on
Exactly.
Right.
All those kinds of things can and should be resolved. That's also a part of our tradition in Wisconsin and virtually in every other state
in America.
Well,
because if people are going through the effort to vote, we should make the effort to make sure the votes are counted, regardless of who they're voting for. That's the point.
Voting traditions in America, Voting Rights Act of 1965, and even before that, that's the entire tradition. Lyndon Johnson, a united Congress at that time, Republicans and Democrats, both signed off on that legislation. And now we've got this fight 60 years later about whether or not people should be voting and have access to votes. Amazing.
It sure is. Jack from Mac, we can give you 60 seconds. Welcome, Jack. What do you got?
Well, let's see. I went and stole an election drop box to make sure nobody could steal the election drop box. But wait a minute. I walked into a bank and I took a bunch of money to make sure nobody else could steal a bunch of money.
I was testing whether or not the FDIC and the FSLIC and the FBI would properly secure the monies there.
They say up to $100,000
there you go,
or whatever.
Right? It was a test. I'm doing this on behalf of the people of the country.
Anything else, Jack?
Absolutely. That's okay.
All right. We appreciate it. Of course, that's the problem, right? I mean, that's the issue. Yes. And he did this, Doug Denny, the Wausau mayor, did this purposefully. He continues to kind of shuffle his story around. Oh, we had a disagreement, had a philosophical disagreement. Oh, it wasn't bolted down. You know, every day it seems like he's got some new explanation, and none of them are justified. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Join us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review Saturdays here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you, Jim, sticking around. We got Jess on the board, on the phones, and the end of our two-week contest. You believe it's been going on for 2 weeks, folks. The Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. Last time I'm telling you, folks, last time you're going to hear me talk about it, the word of the day is field. I will meet you on the field of battle.
Mm. Yeah.
Field. So download the Civic Media app. Find your favorite radio station. That's the one you're hearing my voice on right now. Use a text button at the bottom of the screen and text the keyword field for your chance to win the statewide contest. Field.
Last chance.
Last
Just
chance.
A quick notice. That is the last chance for the entire contest.
That's
for the
it.
Last show of
We're
the day
done.
With it.
This is it. We're done.
So drop whatever
get it
you're
in now.
Doing.
Get it in now. And I can see folks doing that. We do appreciate you playing along. I get the same text there as the other comments. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. A couple of comments here. Kurt from Madison points out, okay, if I were to take the ballot box, would I go to jail? Question mark. Then yes, he should go to jail. Yeah, you know, like equal
no
justice
one is above the law,
man. Right? All right, well, let's get to it. Joe from Madison, you have some comments on this topic. Welcome, Joe. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
I would echo what Kurt had to say, you know, that if he hauled off with the ballot box just because he had philosophical differences with it, he'd be looking at jail time. He'd be looking at a world of trouble, and he'd deserve it. And as yesterday I sort of said, thought, because it was so ludicrous and so stupid and so idiotic, I have a philosophical difference with something about, so I'll just haul it off to my office and let it sit there. I mean, it's ludicrous. But the longer I thought about it, and particularly some comments from Tom from L.A., they need to throw the book at him. Enough with these stunts. Enough with this, you know, if you don't like the way something is going, then find a more comical and interesting way to do it. You don't mess with the voting. And I thought, I mean, one thing that I thought was particularly ludicrous about this guy was saying, I was working on a Sunday. Boy, I don't believe that for a second. I mean, I don't believe that for a second. You know, you're working on a Sunday and you just happen to have a suit on, you just happen to have nice shoes on, and I mean, this is ludicrous, and then we're supposed to suck it up. No, throw the book at him. And part of what I would say is that in January 6th hearings, there were a lot of people, ordinary people, who had been sucked up by Donald Trump's stupid arguments that he had indeed won the election, and they suffered huge consequences. Yeah. They went to prison, they lost jobs, their family was uprooted, and they were ordinary people that really found their lives in terrible, terrible place. Donald Trump, of course, has not had that same situation. I think it's time to start at the top when in terms of punishment like this, and make an example out of the mayor, not an example out of the poor guy from Akron, Ohio, who was duped really by Donald Trump. Yeah. Let's make an example out of this guy and say, enough of the stunts, enough of the silly business. You know, off you go. You've got a felony now. Bye bye. So I guess I changed my standards.
That's all right.
Much funnier. The more I think about it, I am out for blood. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. You know, it is, because we kind of joke about it because it's stupid. But then, you know, there is real consequence to this, for real. Jim, what about other people wanting to use the Dropbox that no longer can? Do they have a case?
Well, here's the other aspect of this, of course.
If Rosenberg, the former mayor, wanted to take her ballot and drop it off of that Dropbox that's no longer there, does she have a case against the current mayor?
My Supreme Court in my state has told me that my clerk, in his or her discretion, can make this accessible to me. Let's think about another subgroup of our voting population, people with disabilities, right?
Yeah.
And that's also a part of our voting tradition, also a part of that history I talked about before. Not only on, maybe not on voting day, you probably can't drop them off as late as that day, but on a regular basis, as a part of our process on voting day, you come up to the curb and you say, you know what, I cannot move into the voting place itself. We will come out and we'll ensure that you can vote secretly, privately, without public disclosure here. That's all a part of this. The ballot drop boxes, once again, they are a convenience, but that understates the significance of the voting process itself. It's a way of ensuring that all people, including those who have a disability that may otherwise prevent them from showing up on voting day, from otherwise being a part of the process that many others invoke, that you've got that access to. And frankly, I no longer have that capacity because my government won't give me the opportunity to vote because of who I am and the particular disability that I have. Talk about your lawsuit. Absolutely. Right. And again, can you sue on that basis? Sure, you can. Whether you win or not depends upon damages and all those kinds of standing things that lawyers have to talk about. But it does underscore once again the notion this is not just a political stunt here. You're affecting the capacity of people to vote.
That Dropbox is no longer usable.
Exactly.
It's not there.
Right.
John from Princeton, Europe. I can give you like 60 seconds. John, welcome. What do you got?
There's a sheriff over, I believe it's Columbia County, and covered Beaver Dam, and a lot of small burns around there. And I think he more or less told those folks that he couldn't guarantee their security or whatever, and they didn't even put their boxes out.
Right. This is Dodge County, actually. We've got a sheriff in our state, again, from just this past week or so, went to three different municipal clerks in that county and said, you know what, I've looked at this and I think we've got some concerns. All of them had previously said, yes, in my discretion, we're going to use drop boxes. He finds out about
these separate clerks.
These separate clerks, right? They independently make that decision, which again, is once again, that's their decision to make. You've got a sheriff here who comes in and reaches out to them by email, other communications, that says, you know what, I've got, as the chief law enforcement officer, well, you're wrong about that, right? It's another issue having to do with the power of sheriffs in America and what they do and do not have the authority to do. And basically, I'm going to use the word coerces them to bring these things down. And sure enough, in those three cities in Dodge County, no drop boxes coming up in November.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. James Santel in studio with me, former U.S. Attorney, just on the board. We're going to come back and talk about the mayor of New York City.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship.
This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax.
Why would you name a toilet that?
Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.